Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. We're going to begin reading at verse 19, continue on to verse 34. Acts 16, 19 through 34. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. As we consider Paul and Silas here, sitting in jail, try to put myself in their shoes. You're sitting there doing, it seems like you can't do a thing. You're helpless. You're wanting to get out, move around, do the work of the Lord. But here you sit in prison. But you know, as we sit, as we stand still, as we sit still before God, even though we might be in prison or wherever we are, God is still working. He is working. I was challenged in the Sunday school lesson this morning when Christ came up to that coffin that the dead man was laying in. As he touched that coffin, it said the ones that were carrying that coffin stood still. They stood still. Think of the blessings we miss out on by not simply standing still and waiting for God. Think of the blessing that happened here. I know this was beyond Paul and Silas's control when they were placed in prison, but they were still. They couldn't move. Other examples in Scripture. When Philip was witnessing to that Ethiopian eunuch, what did he tell the chariot? He caused the chariot to stand still. The Scripture says, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." So I think as we hustle and bustle, especially this time of year, this Christmas season, I think it's important for us to maybe just stand still and see what God is doing. Watch Him work. Let's come before Him in prayer.
Joseph Shriven was the author of one of the great hymns of the church. The monuments and memorials placed along parts of our continent can tell us wonderful stories of men and women in our past, such as Plymouth Rock and the simple house of John Payne that inspired him to write the Home Sweet Home. We are told of another monument in Canada that reads, 4 miles north in Pongalay Cemetery lies a philanthropist and author of a great masterpiece written at Port Hope. Now, if you're wondering what a philanthropist is, I'm not even sure if I pronounced it right. It's someone that really has a love for mankind in general, a person who likes to increase the well-being of mankind. Then, after that epitaph, reads the stanzas of a hymn that we love to sing. Ira Sankey, a gospel songwriter, tells us that Joseph Shriven wrote this poem to his mother in Ireland to give her comfort and sympathy. He was being kind to her. He never intended it to be a great hymn. And then in 1845, he came to Canada only to experience a tragedy in his own life. His bride-to-be drowned the night before their wedding. Joseph Shriven's own words, it seems to me, would have been a comfort to him. And it's a song that we sing in love. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Tonight we want to look at one of the fruit of the Spirit. I know I want to thank our brother too for his prayer and his thoughts. They were very good. One of the things that we want to look at tonight is the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. You know, right now there's a lot of Christmas carols and we're pretty well geared up for Christmas, I guess. But we're going to look tonight at something else, gentleness or kindness. And you know, that's a fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. Some translations call it kindness. And it's one of the most powerful tools in a believer's kit of virtues. Without it, he cannot build Christian character. So we want to read together Colossians. I'd like for you to turn to that. Colossians 3, verse 12. We want to read that together. And notice the first two words are put on. We put it on like we would a garment, like we would a coat. Put on, therefore. Let's read it together. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. If you noticed, one of the words in there is kindness. And that's why I had us to read that. And that's one of the parts, probably tonight I'll be using gentleness or kindness, maybe an interchanging, because the scriptures, even my side reference, talks about a gentleness being kindness. A shopper underestimated the total cost of her groceries. When the cashier rang up her total, she was $4 short. A man behind her, watching her digging through her purse for the needed money, mentioned to the clerk to put it on in my account. He modestly refused to give her his name. This incident illustrates a vital spiritual principle we should feel as obligation to pass along to others kindness that's shown to us. Kindness and generalness. They were even shown to us by Jesus. Frank Graft experienced that gentleness and kindness when he wrote 117 in our green hymnal. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth? Or I'm not sure what. But the chorus says, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. We can see in these words how Jesus speaks peace to a troubled heart. The curse of sin leaves its marks, but a Christian finds solace and hope in Christ Jesus in times of distress and pain and grief. Gentleness in the Greek has three meanings. I'm not sure if I can even pronounce them all, but we'll try. Epieikos, we find in Titus 3:2, it means being gentle, in contrast to contentiousness, not to speak evil of anyone, but be gentle, showing meekness. And another is epios, 1 Thessalonians 2:7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. She carefully looks out for their best. Then we have Epieika, Acts 28:2. On Paul's voyage, they were shipwrecked on the island of Melita. The people showed them no little kindness or unusual kindness. A dictionary definition of gentleness is to be considerate, not harsh, not severe, but soft. And we know what the scripture says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You know, the word gentle intrigues me. Did you ever meet a gentle person? I think of them as a person who seems oblivious or even unaware to surrounding chaos. It reminds me of this man who came home from work one day and the children were making a lot of racket. He walked into the kitchen and his wife was calmly reading a cookbook. And he asked her, how can you stand all that commotion? And she replied, what commotion? You may not agree with me, but I suspect that we expect our children to grow up too fast. And I agree that we daren't let them tear up our place, but I think that children, we need to let them have some childish fun. When we hold a small baby, we pick them up gently. We hold them gently, we lay them down gently. And there's a lesson for us to treat new Christians who haven't maybe grown up yet spiritually the same way. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It says be kind one to another. In a test, starting from 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, the greatest, where do you and I come in exercising kindness? That's a question that we need to ask ourselves. The songwriter got a glimpse of gentleness when he wrote, lead me gently home, Father, lead me gently home. Someone has said, don't just give me a bed of roses every day, but please give me some. And when I falter, strengthen me, cushion the bumps a little, and smooth those ragged edges, and show me how to climb on these. If we would like the kindness of Jesus, then we need to practice kindness. We're to put on kindness, like I mentioned, just like we would have put on a coat. Put it on. It's not just a normal, natural thing. We need to learn kindness. We want to look at some Bible accounts of kindness. In 2 Samuel 9, David had been ill-treated by Saul. You remember how he tried to get away from Saul. He could have took his life a couple times. But he didn't, because David always said he's the Lord's anointed. But when he, even when Saul and Jonathan were killed in battle, David said, isn't there anybody yet remaining in their household? Is anyone left in the house of Saul? Is there anyone that I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? And we remember that David and Jonathan were close friends. And the answer came that there was a crippled son of Jonathan. Can anyone tell me what his name was? Mephibosheth. All right, it's kind of hard to pronounce that, but he was a crippled son of Jonathan. And David sent for him. David had him eat at his own table, and he restored to him the land of his father. Kindness is seeing needs in the lives of others as opportunities to demonstrate my love for Christ. Insomuch as ye have done it unto me, ye have done it. And in the least of these, ye have done it unto the least of these, ye have done it as unto me, in Matthew 25:40. Another account of kindness is found in Acts 16, which our brother read. The Philippian jailer's encounter with Paul and Silas. Remember when they were put in prison? They prayed and sang praises. I believe it says even in scripture at midnight. I just wondered what those prison inmates were thinking. Then there was an earthquake. The prison doors opened. The prisoners' bands were loosed. And thus began a series of events that the Philippian jailer became converted. Paul and Silas showed him kindness by pointing him to Jesus. And the jailer showed kindness as he washed their stripes. Remember that there was many stripes laid on them. And he washed their stripes and he set food before them. What an account. A warm, loving smile is a precious gift to a lonely person. Precious words, properly spoken, are often more appreciated than silver or gold. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. A picture like that would be pretty valuable. Abraham showed kindness to Lot in Genesis 13. You know, they went to Egypt because of a famine. And after some time, they came back to a place called Bethel. It was there that trouble began between Lot and Abraham's servants. But wise Abraham said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between us. You choose the land that you want, and I'll take what's left." These are my own words. Kindness. Lot got the best country, But who fared the best? Kindness pays, even though it doesn't seem so at the time. Is being kind rewarding? People in general are hungry for someone to care about them. We're all that way. The word kind comes from a root kin or kindred and carries in its meaning the idea of love for those who are our own flesh and blood. Someone has said that kindness is a golden chain that binds us together. Everyone we meet is carrying some kind of burden, so we need to be kind to them. God keeps loving us, showing forth his kindness, so let us reflect that same kindness to others. We are told that during a time of terrible, brutal treatment in Armenia, a young woman and her brother were being pursued down a street by a Turkish soldier. Finally, he mercilessly shot the brother, but left his sister go free. Later, we are told that she was working in a military hospital as a nurse. And one day, that soldier came in critically wounded. She recognized him immediately. A terrible struggle began within her heart. Her devoted attention to his need was critical, and the old nature cried vengeance. But the new nature said kindness. And she yielded to the Holy Spirit, as he told her to be kind to him. And she patiently cared for him. And one day he asked her, "Why didn't you let me die?" And she replied, "Because now I am a follower of Jesus. And he has said, love your enemies." The young man was silent for a while. Then he replied, "I never knew anyone could have such a faith. I'd like for you to tell me more." Kindness is Christianity with work clothes on. A weak Christian deals harsh criticism. He makes verbal attacks on others. He cannot stand those who differ. The strong Christian is a most gentle person. The Holy Spirit makes us kind, generous, and gentle. Kindness takes us off the judgment seat and puts us on the mercy seat. Kindness is showing due honor. Father, mother, sister, brother, fellow church members. Deuteronomy 5:16, part of the Ten Commandments, says we're to respect them and we're to honor them. And the scripture in the New Testament even says that we're to have brotherly love and we're to honor, prefer one another. We need to be kindly affectioned one with another. And then there's kindness to God. How can I be kind to God? By practicing loving obedience and praising him. God says the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. How often we hear about people's kind deeds, but selfishness is not a credit to our memory. Kindness is one of the most powerful tools, as I mentioned before, in the kit of virtues. Without it, we cannot build Christian character. A minister was rather tired and sleepy one evening when his small son came to him asking, "Daddy, would you be kind enough to read me a book?" And asking that way, what father could refuse? Kindness is love in little things. Every happy home or church is made up of little acts of words and words of kindness. Scatter seeds of kindness everywhere you go. Scatter bits of courtesy. Watch them grow and grow. Gather buds of friendship. Keep them till full blowing. You will find more happiness than you have ever known. Years ago, people used the term, maybe they do today yet, I don't know. I'm not a horseman, but talk about taming horses. Or gentle, a horse. And the Christian, too, gentleness reflects a taming through the Holy Spirit. I mentioned a while ago that it's something that we need to put on. It's not something that's just automatic. In fact, I think the nature of us is to be unkind. I mean, we have a kindness, but yet if someone crosses our path, we have a tendency to be unkind to them, don't we? I hope not. We shouldn't, because one of the fruits of the Spirit is gentleness. A gentle person can be soft and mild in difficult circumstances, considerate when others are inconsiderate, tender when others are rough spoken, quiet when others are loud and coarse. Was Jesus gentle? Even while suffering on the cross, he displayed a kindness that we probably overlook pretty much. And I just want to read a couple verses here in John 19. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, this was when Jesus was hanging on the cross. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Was Jesus gentle? Pretty gentle with me. A little kindness may make a big difference. How often have you heard words like these? You've been a great help to me. You mean a lot to me. We didn't say much, but we listened with our heart, not just our ears. One of the fruits of the Spirit, gentleness. A man went to a blacksmith shop to pick up a rake and hoe that had been repaired. They looked like new. And the man handed the blacksmith some money, but the blacksmith refused to take it. No, he said, there's no charge for this little job. The man insisted. And finally, the blacksmith gave a never-to-be-forgotten reply. Can't you let a man do something just to stretch his soul? Sometimes we enjoy doing things just to stretch our soul. James 3:17 talks about wisdom. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable and gentle, and easy to be entreated, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The parents were heartbroken when their young adopted daughter died in an unusual accident. She suffocated when the drawstring of the hood of her jacket became caught on a playground slide. Design flaws in both the jacket and the slide made such an accident prone to happen. Some people would have thought this would be a good chance to bring a lawsuit, but these parents refused to do that. In an interview, the mother said they just couldn't feel right doing that. But they were thoughtful enough to realize that the companies involved never intended their products to cause harm. The parents, instead of suing, appealed to both companies to look into and correct the problems that caused their daughter's death. What a good thought to know that there are some sensible thinking people. They use the gentle route. Titus 3:2 says, put them in mind. Teach this, to speak evil of no man, to be no crawler. Don't be contentious. Gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Gentleness, a fruit that is not sour, but gives sweetness. Oftentimes when God speaks, it's through a human voice that is kind. Nothing stops the sound of a voice like harsh, unkind, cutting words. A great thing that a person can do for his Heavenly Father is to be gentle toward his children. Kind words are music to the ear. How would you like to feel if you knew that at your funeral it would be said of you, he was known for his harshness. He was known for his rudeness. Why would gentleness be so important to God that he put in the scripture as one of the fruits of the Spirit? Why is it so important? Because gentleness goes a long way in keeping and making peace. It's pretty hard to argue with a gentle person. How do you add up to being gentle and kind? You know that we can be gentle even firm, and even be firm. Jesus displayed this character in Mark 10 when he talked to a man about his life. He said it was one thing he lacked. He thought he was pretty good, but Jesus told him, there's one thing you lack. And I won't turn to that scripture, but I could. But it just shows how Jesus displayed gentleness even when he was being firm. Gentleness is not necessarily being weak, just as meekness is not weakness. So I appeal to each one of us to work on the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness. As I mentioned earlier, gentleness and kindness go hand in hand. A little kindness can make a big difference. Do a deed of simple kindness, though it's and you may not see. It may reach like widening ripples down a long eternity. Kindness is not always bearing witness by our words, but it's the first step we must take to witness. Kindness is understood in any language. Isn't that true? If our hearts are filled with love and kindness, it cannot be hidden. It will show on the highways. It will show the way we drive our car. It will show up in the shopping center. It will show on our faces. A stranger walked up to a man and said simply, thank you, sir. Well, thank you very much. And puzzled, the man replied, well, I didn't say anything to you. Well, this man said, your face displays wonderful kindness. Will it be said of us when we're gone? He or she was known for their kindness. They practiced the fruit of gentleness. Remember, it's a fruit of the Spirit. I said a while ago that being kind to others just doesn't come naturally. Maybe sometimes it does, but not always. It doesn't come naturally, but neither is it all that hard. We don't read very much about Mary Magdalene, but we do get a nice picture of her. In the city of Magdala, on the coast of the Sea of Galilee, there lived a young woman who was demon-possessed. She was a miserable girl. She was tormented by not one, but seven devils. One day, Jesus came to town and cast out those demons. Mary was so grateful that she ministered to Jesus with other grateful women. Mary had come to appreciate Jesus for what he removed from her life, but even more so, what he had placed into it. She daily experienced his peace, his encouragement, and teaching. Later, she helplessly and mournfully witnessed the one who had done for her so much, being cruelly put to death. She was not ashamed of Jesus. She was committed to Jesus, regardless of what others thought. Being kind to others results in more fruit of kindness. By showing the fruit of kindness, we will never regret it. We will never regret it. Let's cultivate this truth every day. If you've been criticized for some kindness, be kind anyway. If you've been misunderstood, be kind anyway. If you don't receive a thank you, be kind anyway. A stranger was walking along a dusty road in New England, we're told, and he was beneath a large tree. Nearby was a sign which read, "Here is a spring. If thirsty, drink." When he walked further, he noticed another sign, "If weary, rest on this bench." Still further, he saw a basket of delicious apples. Another sign read, "If you're hungry, help yourself." Soon he came to a small hut. In front sat an old man whose face beamed with kindness, and the traveler said to him, "I have enjoyed the blessings that you have placed along the road. Why are you so kind?" And he replied, "There are shade trees here. There's water and fruit aplenty. Why not share it with weary travelers?" And I say, so may we share kindness and gentleness with others along the road of life. Who knows how many people will inherit glory or eternal life? The fruit of gentleness and kindness. Do I have it? Do you?
Tonight we heard a lot about kindness, and I had to think, you know, as we go through our lives, we always like to receive kindness. And we kind of heard that tonight from Brother Robert here, and I never met anybody yet that said, "I wish people would be a little more nasty to me." You know, we like to experience kindness, and I had to think of the golden rule in Matthew 7, there, verse 12. "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Let's do unto others like we would want them to do to us. Let's stand for closing prayer.